This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Okay, Michael, buy or sell? I mean, I don't think you or I are probably the best historians to document the great plays and moments in Olympian history and Olympic history, but we can call it like we see it. Do you think Megan Keller's score late to secure the win in overtime for Team USA is going to go down as one of the greatest Olympic moments in history, at least for American history?
Well, I'm not going to comment because I don't watch a lot of the Olympics.
Yeah,
so
but you saw
I'm going to leave that to someone else.
You saw the replay. You saw the play. I mean, that's got to be up there with the best curling moment that's ever hit or the best skiing moment. Dude, that freaking move she made to score that goal.
It's promo worthy.
That would have been an epic moment just watching like regular season hockey or playoff hockey. We're talking the goal to win a gold medal and the way she did it. That's got to be up there in one of the greatest moments in Olympic history. Yeah, I'm going to buy that. You're copping out, but I'm going to buy that.
I'm copping out because I don't watch a lot of the Olympics.
I don't think there's... Come on. Give me some moments close to that one. Four gold in overtime. You were down in overtime. You forced overtime. And she makes that play one-on-one, and she just kind of does a little skip across her body. Boom! Like that's something, man. That's history right there.
I remember when Tonya Harding's shoes were untied, her skates were untied, and she was like, oh, my skates are untied. I remember that.
Okay, yeah, you would be bad to ask this question. I apologize. I'm sorry. But yes, I'm buying that 100%. Buy or sell. Christian Fourier, we've been talking about that a lot. It seems like he's awoken a beast of former players. Now, we're not hearing anybody outside of Anonymous, but we're hearing that Christian Fourier maybe wasn't 100% alone in his thoughts on Coach Prime. Buy or sell, it was the retiring of Shedeur Sanders' jersey that was kind of a turning point, kind of a tipping point for even those alumni and diehard fans to kind of take a step back and go, are we crazy about this coach here? Because that was a slap in the face move. Do you think, buy or sell, that was a tipping point of the view of Deion Sanders?
Oh, yeah. Buy that all day.
I mean, think about that, Michael. First off, they did it during the spring game. And they paired it with retiring Travis Hunter's jersey. Some people didn't like the idea of retiring Travis Hunter's jersey so quickly after he was done. I actually give that one a pass. If you decided you wanted to do it and you're already... I still think you're slapping people in the face like Hagan and a bunch of great players from yesteryear that are not recognized or have a jersey retired because you can't retire all of them. But Mike, now that we've had some time to... Now that we've had some time to like... Think about that. Like, when it happened, it was crazy. And I had a take on it. I was like, yeah, Shedeur's good. I don't know if you ever retire his number. I think that one was up for debate, even if it wasn't. Let's say it wasn't his dad who was the head coach, and he just had those numbers. I mean, he broke some records and things like that. But take his dad out of it, I think it'd be up for debate. Do you think in 20 years, Shedeur Sanders' number should have been retired?
No.
You have to reserve that for greatness. Man, it's like, I'm always talking about the Hall of Fame, how I get frustrated that it's the Hall of Good. When you retire a number, Like, not honor a player, not put his name up there. But when you retire a number, you're saying nobody else can wear that number because what you did in that number with that jersey on, you truly believe that was the greatest you've ever seen. When you retire a number, you're saying nobody else is going to do that number justice, man. We can't put that on just anybody. That number's gone. Unless you have one of those deals where they ask and the guy says, yeah, heck yeah, do it. Whatever, kind of like Philip Lindsay getting Terrell Davis's jersey. Although they didn't retire TDs. He just asked to wear it.
Yeah, but, I mean, Peyton Manning asked for Frank Trifuca's
right. And then that one, you know, it makes sense. Travis Hunter was that guy, Mike. Heisman winner. They've had two Heisman winners. I mean, you have college football's, and that's the award, that's what it's become. You have college football's best football player in a season, and obviously you know how good he was on both sides of the ball. Maybe even if he doesn't win the Heisman, you consider retiring his jersey. You agree with retiring his jersey 20 years down the road, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Heisman.
But 20 years down the road. This is like, well, you know, I don't like the, okay, he was really good. Now tomorrow, let's honor him and do all these great retirements.
The only reason I push back on retiring it like now is because you didn't take care of other CU greats first. Now, if you've done your due diligence and all your other greats are being honored and you're up to date on all of that, I don't have a problem with giving him an early honor. I don't have a problem with it. If you earned it. And that means, when I'm saying you earned it, you did something nobody else does. You changed the game. And he might be. He was one of the only two-way players in college. He's certainly one of the only two-way players in the NFL that's doing it at a high level on both sides. So that I think is justified. But for Coach Prime to retire his son's jersey number after 3 years and one good season. No, it was 2 years. My bad. It was just 2 years, man. It was 2 years. One bad season, one good season. Not great. Is nine wins a good season or a great season? You got to get to double
digits. Good season.
Good season is nine. You get to 10. You get close to... You compete for a Big 12 championship. You're in the championship game. Even if you lose, that's still a great season. You make it. You're one of two. You know, you're in your top two in your conference. That's a great season. Anything outside of that is a good season. So, with Shedeur Sanders as the quarterback, you had one bad season. Brady, they improved from 1-4. Neat. I mean, 1-4 is good for you. Like, it's good progress, but don't kid yourself. That was not a good season. They flipped the roster, all that stuff. It was not a good season. Second season, you're a good team. So when Christian Fourier had all these things to say, Mike, you were starting to hear other anonymous comments saying, maybe he wasn't 100% off base on that. Maybe, I mean, questioning his intelligence, and I know he backed that up and said, I wasn't questioning his, like, overall intelligence as a man. I was questioning his football intelligence. Dude, there's a story, man, when they honored those guys at the spring game, a bunch of alumni came back. Or no, it wasn't for the spring game. It was for, it was when they retired, or when they, that was another controversy thing, too. When they built the statue up of Bill McCartney, and they put it in the practice field, because they wanted to kind of not make it a big deal because of his past, some of the things he said in his past, obviously. But a bunch of alumni came back. And I guess the alumni, like, they go to sing the fight song. And the old school guys are, every word, singing it. Coach Prime's guys, current players, had no idea what was going on. They couldn't sing it. And I'm not, like, I'm not a big fight song dude, but I never played. If I played college football, and my coach told me, you need to learn the fight song because we sing it after games. I would learn it. Coach Prime's not telling his team to learn it. That was a problem, too. And that's why, you know, with Fourier at the end saying, hey, I hope I'm wrong about everything. But for now, for the love of God, learn the blanking fight song. Well, I think that's starting to rub people the wrong way because he's not really honoring your past. He's just worried about the current. And, you know, and Sean Payton said it, it's not my hump, right? You can't view, and people had a big problem with Sean Payton saying it's not my hump, basically beating Kansas City. That's not my thing. That wasn't me. No, don't you kind of own that stuff? Good, bad, ugly. When you take over a franchise, you honor the greatness and you do your best to try to make up for the bad stuff. You know, Warren Schaefer was on with Jim Rome the other day, Michael, Rocky's manager. And he's taking, he was a part of how bad it was, obviously, last year. And he's also not saying, hey, that I wasn't here when all this bad stuff was going, when it started. I wasn't here for that. No, he's saying, we want to get out of the dungeon, man. We want to get out of the bottom. We don't want to be there anymore. He's saying we. You have to acknowledge that stuff. And I think what a lot of players felt, especially Christian Fourier, was you're only concerned with what you've done since you got here. You're not honoring your greats first. Like, the move would have been, Coach Prime goes to Rick George and says, I think we, and again, according to Rick George, it was Rick George who is the one who suggested retiring Shadur's number. That's a, yeah, whatever. I don't know. I don't know about that. But that's what it was. Whoever suggests it, the first thing you say is, well, we have a lot of other players we haven't honored that deserve it. I think we should get to that this upcoming season. Let's start honoring those players. And then we talk about Travis Hunter and Shadur Sanders. We go that route. Yes, Michael.
I'm saying that there's not a lot of school pride lately because of the transfer portal.
So it's not just a Coach Prime thing?
I don't think it's just him. Like, I think you can criticize him for that. But, Juan, do you remember at the beginning when he was just signed, people were saying, oh, this is just a step for him to try to get to, you know, the SEC. You know, how long is he going to be at Colorado before he signs with, you know, another team, before he gets poached? Was he seeing it that way? Oh, I'm not going to be at Colorado for this five-year contract. I'm going to be here for 3 years. So Colorado, I'm going to wear this cowboy hat, but, you know, I'm not really.
That was my vibe at first. Every coach says the right things, though. And you get duped.
Yeah.
I admit, I got a little duped because it sounded like he's like, dude, I love Boulder. I love it, man. It's great. Colorado's amazing. I also thought like the cowboy hat thing was funny at first because I'm like, you do realize Colorado's not, especially that part of Colorado, not a lot of cowboys. Like Denver, Boulder, Fort Collins. I know Fort Collins got the ag school and stuff, but you don't see a ton of cowboy hats. Everywhere you go, even in Greeley, walk around. You're not seeing a bunch of dudes dressed up like John Wayne.
Yeah, I'm not a big cowboy fan hat guy, but like I got to say, he can pull it off.
Yeah, he can, but I thought that was funny because it was kind of like, I'm trying to embrace Colorado. Well, yeah, but it's more like maybe you should put a beanie on and have, you know, skis or something.
Yeah.
That part of it.
Have a hacky sack
or
in your pocket.
Or if you want to represent the plains part of Colorado, have some, like, prairie dog poison on hand or something. I don't know. But it's not, like, cowboys. I digress. Do I think that he thought that this was a stepping stone job? I mean, after they beat TCU. Remember? Because TCU was ranked so high. And then CU beat them, and then it turned out TCU was bad. We were all like, holy crap. The hype train was unreal around the Buffs. But I don't know in his mind, he wants to achieve greatness. He wants to be the best. If he would have, let's say, first season won 7 games and then 2 years ago went to the Big 12 championship, and then last year without Shadur and Travis Hunter, they're in the Big 12 championship again, do you think he'd be gone? If they were awesome, basically, these last 3 years, do you think Coach Prime would have been hired away?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I mean, they're paying him like $9.8 million or whatever it is. He's just shy of 10, I think.
I mean, Kalen DeBoer, he he left Washington really quickly.
Yes. That,
like, not in a negative, I'm going to get the hell out of there. Like, someone, a bigger school, made a big offer. Washington couldn't match it, both culturally and, you know,
well,
monetarily.
You get it, he got to go to the top of the mountain, right?
He did.
You got to go, even though that job would suck, the money wouldn't, but you're replacing Nick Saban. That's a tall task, man. You know, you always want to be, you don't want to be the first one to replace a legend.
But still a tall task.
Yeah. For Coach Prime, if he would have been successful, then you know the SEC, Big Ten teams would have come calling. And they would have said, whatever it is, he's cooking, man. We want that here. And plus the attraction, you know, no matter how good, they were the most talked about 4-win team maybe in the history of college sports, because there was so much hype around them.
There were teams that won 10 games that no one was talking about.
Yeah.
They talked about CU more than these 10-win teams.
Yeah. And that's, but now it's dying down.
Yeah. Now it's all talk.
Yeah. Now it's,
there's no action.
Now it's probably more negative. Especially when you get former players who have a good pedigree. Christian Fourier was a stud college player and obviously played in the NFL, Super Bowl, won some Super Bowls. He starts saying, and he's a really good broadcaster too. He's got a podcast or radio show maybe. I don't know. I don't listen to it on a regular basis. But he's well known in the football community. So when he starts talking and saying stuff, I know he had a kid that played and he insists that that's not it. But I got to thinking about this the other day, Michael. It felt like the turning point was actually started after their very successful season when they retired those numbers so quickly, and especially the fact that they retired Shedeur Sanders' number at all.
Yeah, that rubbed me the wrong way.
It's just, even if it wasn't Coach Prime and somebody just did it, we would be debating, wait, really? Shedeur was good, but was he retire number worthy? You got to be really freaking good to get your number retired. I think that might have been a turning point, and that's why I think the pressure is turned up, and I didn't think that was going to be possible. But last year just went so badly for them. And we all wondered, what's it going to look like without Shedeur Sanders, without Travis Hunter? Then he had his health stuff. And then you thought, maybe that's going to be the perfect out for him and CU. Is your health, your health is in question. This obviously isn't that good, but he fought back on that. He said, no, this isn't affecting my job at all, and I'm going to make a recovery from this, and we'll be good to go. And for what I know, he has. But I just, I'll tell you what, man, they need to win games next year. Because the shine, I don't think it's worn off, but all it's going to take is a rough start to the 2026 season, and then the shine will be in question. Now, they play Georgia Tech to start the season. They have Weber State. They have Northwestern, Baylor, Texas, and then they get into their, yep, Texas Tech. We'll see how good these teams are, but I mean, what do you predict? You follow this Big 12. Is CU a 5-win team? And if they're a 6-win team, even a bowl game, that's not what we're paying for. I mean, Kurt Cignetti just signed a contract extension, $13.2 million, Michael. That's like what Mike Vrabel, who just went to the Super Bowl and who's been in the league for a while and was semi-successful with the Titans, he's making that. Kurt Cignetti, head coach of Indiana, is making the same amount as a Super Bowl coach contender. And Coach Prime is not that far away from Kurt Cignetti. He's making, what, 10? So he won a national championship. And the year before, they were really freaking good. With Coach Prime, you're paying money. The dollars you're paying him are begging for at the very least, 80% of the way through the season, we're in the conversation of getting to the Big 12 championship game. I think that's at the very least. I think that kind of money that Coach Prime's getting is saying you need to be in the Big 12 championship. Wouldn't you agree? You got to be close.
I don't think he's going to be on the hot seat if they get to a bowl game. But he should be in the big. He should be winning the Big 12 championship with the check he's cashing. I mean, he has too many followers. Too many followers that are going to keep him safe this year. But any logical human being is going to go, this is ridiculous. They're getting scammed.
I mean, Kenny Dillingham for Arizona State is being paid 7.5. Sonny Dykes at TCU is at 7. Brent Brennan's at 4.7. Coach Prime's far and away the highest paid coach in the Big 12, isn't he? It's got to be. So that's what, I mean, that's what you're saying. You're saying we're paying you this kind of money, so you better go out and deliver. And, I mean, these kind of numbers. Dude, last year, I pulled this up from last year before Coach Prime got his 10. Gundy was at 7.7. Whittingham was at 6 at that time. Kleiman was at 5.2. Nobody was really close to that 10 million until the Buffs got it done. 27 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break here, Michael. Interesting read in the Denver Post on the Rockies. And I'll tell you why. I'm reading through it and I'm like, "Oh, wow. Yeah, that's cool. It seems like a different feel." But as I'm reading it, the more upset I get toward what's been happening with the Rockies over the last several years. We'll talk about that coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We'll be right back.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Hear Nuggets and Avalanche games on Northern Colorado's voice.
Yeah!
103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition. Every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Cato June, All-Pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
This speech is my recital. I think it's very vital. To rock around, that's right, on time. It's tricky, don't play. Here we go. It's tricky to rock around, to rock around. That's right, on time, it's tricky.
Off going on over here, Mike. Good job. That was good. I think we would tear it up. A little dual dancing.
I think a lot of people would tear their eyes out if they saw us dancing.
Yep. Probably more accurate there. Okay, so I'm reading this story from Patrick Saunders in the Denver Post. And as I'm going through it, it's just like we're calling out, okay, Schaefer acknowledged that the Rockies were bad at base running and many other baseball basics. His intent on changing the narrative starts with back-to-basics approach at Team Salt River Field Complex. They're not going to go out there to just taking in ground balls just for the sake of it. There is real intentional work going on. And, you know, I'm hearing other players talk about getting to work and just working on their individual stuff here. Players are... they're going to get a sleep in during their 42-day stint in the desert. Oftentimes, the players were at the batting cages by 7 a.m. trying to hone their swing. And Schaefer's changing that, aiming for the Rockies to be fresh when they open the regular season. So they're sleeping in a little bit, but they're getting to more of a practice-type schedule. They're working on running bases more and things of that nature. Michael, I'm reading the story, and this is no disrespect to Patrick Sauders. He's great, and he's highlighting this appropriately. And there's really no disrespect to Warren Schaefer or Pauly Podesta in this. But as I'm reading this, Mike, it just sounds like for the first time at in spring training in a while, the Rockies are practicing. Like they're working on stuff that they were bad at last year. This is just how bad it was.
Are you saying the Rockies are finally a real baseball team?
They're trying to do things that a real baseball team might try to do. Brent Doyle said, I used to be able to roll out of bed and just go play. It's different for me now. I'm glad things have changed, and the schedule is much better than in the past. Schaefer has given us time to get warmed up and get ready so that when we do go on the field, it doesn't just feel rushed. Camp is very scheduled and very detailed. There's not a lot of wasted time. So then Hunter Goodman said, hey, no, I need this 100%. There's a lot more time in the scheduling for individual stuff. Our catcher's work, for example. We're getting 25 to 30 minutes a day just working on catching stuff and not doing anything else. It's a change for sure. So you mean Warren Schaefer is organizing things to allow players time to work on their specific skill set? And I'm not, again, don't take me wrong. I'm not knocking this. I'm just saying, what a concept.
I mean, maybe he saw all the errors that the Rockies had last year and was like, perhaps less of those. Perhaps go back to the individual fundamentals.
Pitching was terrible. They weren't good at running bases, so they're making that more of an emphasis. Schaefer was asked a little bit more about that, too, and he said, historically, speaking of catchers, they've always just gotten through spring training. It's like, let's get through this. Now we have intentional time built into the day for them to get better at their craft. What? It's sad that you read that and you kind of get excited because you're like, whoa, it sounds like they've got some organization now and the Rockies might actually be trying to catch up with the rest of the leagues or the rest of the team in the league. But then you're also just like, wait, so we had to live through historically bad baseball for the last several years. Turns out they haven't really been giving intentional time that's built into the day for them to get better at their craft. It's like players are shocked by this. Wow, I actually get to go work on my swing. I get to go work on, we're going to work on as a team, you know, running bases and situational moments that might occur in a game rather than just load up and go do spring training games. Now that's a concept. It seems like you got, and I don't know if this is a Warren Schaefer thing, because as soon as Tanner and I were talking about this, his first thought was, oh wow, it just makes me dislike what Bud Black did even more. Is it a Bud Black thing or is it an upper management thing saying, hey, analytically, we're seeing this stuff from your team, from your players. You guys, we need to really work on this when we have the guys together, and that starts at spring training. So good for the Rockies now to at least try to catch up and do what we think other baseball teams are doing. I thought it was kind of eye-opening reading through the story going, is this really a story? They're getting more time to work. And again, no disrespect to Patrick Sauders. He's writing the story, and it's obviously this is new to the Rockies, so this is a story. I just find it fascinating that it is a story. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Travis, the new guy texting in. The head coach of Texas Tech is just over $7 million now. So does that still make Coach Prime? He's the highest paid coach in the Big 12, isn't he? I think you have to ask to be in the Big 12 championship. Anything less than that is a disappointment. Does that mean he's fired if he doesn't? No. Hell no. You're not going to give up on that. But with a new AD, Fernando Lovo, that's kind of like when you look at a GM taking over a football team and you go, oh, like when George Payton took over for the Broncos, it was like, oh, Vic Fangio's on borrowed time. He better do well, because doesn't a new GM want to bring in his own guy? For Fernando Lovo to look at this and say, I'm going to get rid of Prime. Yeah, no, he's not going to come in guns a-blazing like that. But if things go south, keep in mind, he doesn't have the undying love for Coach Prime like Rick George seemed to have. All things to consider. 39 minutes after the hour, Michael. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Let's go. Team USA up 1-0 with 2.5 minutes to go in the first.
What channel is that on?
I don't know. NBC?
Because I have it on some kind of ice skating racing.
It's on NBC.
Okay.
You're going to be probably like 8 minutes behind again. So just probably. So you know, they're up 1-0. Saw this today, Michael. We were talking about UCLA head coach Mike Cronin ejecting his own player and then yelling at the reporter for asking him something about fans chanting a certain player's name. Well, he came out today and said, I apologize to Steve Jamerson, who that was the player he tossed, his own player he ejected. I thought he made a dirty play. I was wrong. And I need to dial it back, too. Sometimes I'm too candid. I'm lucky to coach here. This brand matters. The last thing I want to do is bring negative publicity. I guess at least he said he was sorry for it, or he needed to dial it back, but that's embarrassing for that kid, man. He got tossed out of a game by his own coach. That doesn't go away by saying, I made a mistake. In fact, sometimes that could even make it worse. You're almost better off doubling down, saying, no, I really thought you made it a bad play. I don't know. I'm not a big Mike Cronin fan, Mike. No, not one of my favorites for sure. So he at least apologized, but I wonder if he apologized to the reporter for saying, you know, basically flipping his crap because he thought a reporter was raising his voice. Doubtful that that happened. Are we pressing the panic button on the Nuggets? Why? Give me a reason, Mike. Go ahead. You're nodding your head back there.
Because Jokic doesn't look the same, so you must panic.
You're just saying what I say. Yeah, not good. He was -6 last night, and Jamal was -1. I mean, he had 22 points, 17 rebounds, 6 assists, but 6 turnovers, and the shots, man. 0 for 6 from the 3-point line, 9 for 22. Those just aren't Joker numbers. Is it the injury? Is it the wrist? The Scott Hastings on the broadcast last night just kept noting it. Like, the touch just seems off. And then I saw one reporter who's well-respected Nuggets guy. What the hell's his name? He said, Joker and Jamal look gassed right now. Didn't we just get done with the All-Star break? And I mean, I know they played in the All-Star game, but let's face it, they're not like doing marine workouts to prepare for that. So if they're gassed now, what is that going to look like in the playoffs?
Yeah, but they're not in game shape. They need to get in game shape.
They've been playing basketball since October, since August in training camp. There's no more. They look gassed. Like that. No. Joker missed 16 games. I doubt he was just sitting on his butt eating bonbons. I'm sure he was still exercising. So no, I don't know if it's just taking some time to reintegrate everybody. Did they just score again? Team USA just scored again?
Power play.
2-0 over Slovakia. Oh, Mike, this is going to be a breeze. They're just going to roll through this game. Yeah? Get a gold. Are you going to get up early Sunday morning and watch it? 6 a.m. is what I'm told.
I'll cheer for them in my sleep.
Yeah, me too. Probably. All right, 48 minutes after the hour, Michael. What did we learn on this Friday, February 20th? Stick with us here on The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado.
KFKA is the home of the best high school basketball coverage in the state. We are Northern Colorado's voice and your preps leader. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what do we learn on this 20th day of February? Maybe it's time to panic a little bit about the Denver Nuggets. I don't know when Aaron Gordon's coming back. I don't know when Peyton Watson's coming back. And I don't know that I didn't think at this point in the season I'd say that was a big concern that you don't have Peyton Watson. But injuries, getting guys back into the fold, maybe that's harder than we thought it was going to be. Maybe the Nuggets, it's karma. They're being punished for how well things went when Joker was out. The NBA proposing a new way to fix tanking, and it's just confusing, but that's the NBA now. Michael, what'd you learn?
I learned what channel the hockey game is on. And by the way, I am live. I also learned that everybody is probably as upset as me about the Chicago Bears wanting to leave, and there are a bunch of people that agree with me that, you know, perhaps the stadium, the team owners should build the stadium.
Maybe so. And for once, maybe somebody agrees with you. And that's exciting for you. You get to end on a high note.
Everybody agrees with me.
No,
always.
They do not. That'll do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Monday. We got Bruce Dick tonight for Beyond the Mat. State Wrestling Update, 5 o'clock. Full thing. Excited for that. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.